What's up? This is Kinsley, and you're listening to the Curls and Courage podcast. Hello, what's up, you guys? Welcome to episode number 14 of the Curls and Courage podcast. I'm your host, Kinsley Meeks. I am a coach, an athlete, and a mental health advocate, aiming to inspire you to reach your highest physical and mental potential. If it's your first time tuning in, you're in for a treat. It means a lot to me. And if you're an avid listener, thank you so much for all of your support, all of your encouragement, and just taking some time out of your day to listen. So if you clicked on this episode, you have a little bit of insight on what today's topic is about. We talk about the importance of fasted cardio, whether or not you should be eating sugary carbs and candy throughout your training. We talk about mind and muscle connection and so many more things. So if that's of interest to you, be sure to listen to the next 20 to 30 minutes of this episode. Before we do jump in today's underrated and overrated fitness and nutrition trends, I want to ask a quick favor of you guys. If you missed last week's episode titled Sustainable Weight Loss Tips, How to Lose Weight and Keep It Off in a Healthy Way, be sure you check it out. This episode meant a lot to me because a huge aspect of my job is helping people with weight management. Did you guys know this? This is crazy. According to statistics, roughly 47% of U.S. men and 55% of U.S. women stated they wanted to lose weight. And not according to statistics, but just opening your eyes to the world around you and having deep conversations with others, you'll see that weight management is such a topic that many of us struggle with today. And I want to help you, right? I want to help your mom, your friend, your boss, your brother, your sister, or anyone else you know feel healthier and look better. We all want to look good laying out on the beach, right? So be sure, again, check out episode number 13 if you missed it, and let me know if you have any questions. Now, let's get down to business. So, what fitness trends should you be trying out, and what fitness trends are just not worth all of the hype? So, I want to start off by telling you guys a short story. So, this was just about, I would say, a week ago. You know, every afternoon around 12 p.m., it's my favorite part of the day because I get to go train. I train at a gym here in Miami. It's called Elevation Fitness. I've talked about it a lot of times on this podcast because it's such a good gym and it definitely makes me feel more of a community here in this crazy city. So, you know, I'm at Elevation and I'm going through. It's a Monday, so I train shoulders and arms on Monday, you guys. I'm hitting my shoulders really hard. It gets time for me to train my rear delts. My favorite machine for rear delts is the seated pec deck fly in reverse, right? Amazing exercise to isolate the rear delts best as we can. So I go over to that piece of equipment and I see two guys around my age, you know, using the machine. So as I've mentioned, this machine is my absolute favorite for hitting my rear delts. So I ask if I can work in with them. And of course, they're super nice. They're super friendly. I talk to them for a few minutes and they say, yeah, of course. But as they're training, I notice something about them. So while one friend is performing the exercise, the other friend is resting, which is normal. But I notice while he's resting, he's eating sour gummy bears. And then I notice the other friend, when he gets done with his set of rear delt pec deck flies, he grabs off the ground a packet of Sour Patch Kids and starts eating those. So I'm like, all right. I don't say anything, but just in the back of my mind, I'm always noticing things, you guys, and I'm thinking that's a little bit counterproductive and not really necessary. And just so you guys get some perspective, just want to go over these guys' physiques. You know, they're not malnourished or anything. They really don't need to be eating the Sour Patch Kids or gummy bears, in my opinion. One's even a little bit overweight, which is totally fine. No judgment at all. Anyone working in the gym, I really do admire, at least a little bit to some degree, for showing up. But all this being said, you guys, they didn't need the gummy bears and they didn't need the Sour Patch Kids. So as I said, my brain is always rolling. There's always a million things going through my mind. So it kind of made me go down into a rabbit hole thinking, okay, what fitness and nutrition trends are actually underrated and which ones are overrated? Which ones are worth the hype and which ones are not so good? So I asked a couple friends and family members and clients of mine and just did a little bit of research on what people struggle with in the gym, what the latest fitness trends are that I see that I don't agree with and that I do agree with. And the way this is going to work We're going to go through a series of five different topics. I'm going to be stating to you guys whether I think they're overrated and why, or whether I think they're underrated and why. And we're also going to do this a little bit differently. I've seen a lot of other influencers and podcasters do this segment, and I thought giving it my take would be fun. So I also want to use a scale of 1 to 10. 10 being the most overrated and 1 being the most underrated. So bringing it back to the story I just explained to you guys, let's start with the concept of eating sugary carbs and candy throughout your training session. I have to say this is overrated, and on that scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to give it about an 8. So the concept behind this, eating Sour Patch Kids in the middle of your training session, is for this reason. Your body wants to use carbohydrates for fuel during strength training and endurance training. So the concept, the thought process behind this is that candy can provide a fast source of carbs in the form of sugar. So again, this could be Sour Patch Kids, gummy worms, gummy bears, etc. I think this is so overrated. There are so many better alternatives here if you need carbs intra-workout. I mean, I remember even when I'm doing high carbohydrate days and past show preps, I'll do like a carb powder. I'll make sure that I eat a pretty carb-heavy meal before I train or after I train for the purpose of making sure that I'm not depleted and that I'm replenishing my muscles with good carb sources. You could also do high carb days. You could also do carb cycling. There's just so many better alternatives, I think, than eating Sour Patch Kids, right? Here's the thing, though. It does depend on the individual, and I can see why this is a trend. For example, back in the day, if you guys have listened to this podcast before, you know I used to run. I used to be an avid runner. I'd be running crazy amounts, and I was very, very lean and small. So sometimes when I would run, it may be like a 13-mile run, and I was less than 100 pounds. So I would eat Gatorade chews like every 5 miles, or I would sip on a little bit of like energy gel as I was running when I came to a rest period. And what this does is directly provides glucose to your bloodstream in the form of easily digestible carbohydrates. So I can see, like, for this reason why it was important. Again, I'm less than 100 pounds and I'm running 13 miles. So maybe I do need a little bit of Gatorade chews, you know. Or take my brother, for example. I've seen him in the gym before eating a Rice Krispie treat in the middle of his training. Well, I think my brother can eat that Rice Krispie treat because he has 135 pounds on his back and he's doing jump squats with it. And my brother skates all day. He's very active and he barely eats. So I'm fine with him having a Rice Krispie treat in the middle of his sets, right? Not that he needs to do this every time, but I do see the purpose behind it. But if you are someone who is a little bit overweight or doesn't necessarily need the carbohydrates intra-workout, which let me tell you guys, most people do not. Again, you have to be a pretty high-level athlete, you have to be a high-level competitor, or you have to have a specific purpose for eating that candy in the middle of your training session, which again, I just think that's so, so rare. I mean, one in a million people should be doing that, in my opinion. This brings me to point number 2. I want to talk about, when you're in the gym, the importance of mind-to-muscle connection. Is mind-to-muscle connection overrated or underrated? Well, first off, let me tell you, what does this even mean? Mind-to-muscle connection is referred to a way in which you consciously make an effort to deliberately contract a muscle when you're lifting. So there is extensive research behind this method stating that there are significant results that show greater gain and progress in improving skeletal muscle mass if you just simply think about using the muscles while you're training. To me, this is underrated. I'm going to give it about a 5 because I feel like some people see the importance, some people do not. Let's start with an example. I am a personal trainer and I work with a lot of different people and I see a lot of different people in the gym. And believe me, it's a no judgment zone when I'm there, but this is what I do for a living. I do look around, I do pay close attention. So the other day I'm training my client, we're training legs, and one of her exercises that I want her to do is a leg press. So I go to the leg press in the gym that I train clients out of here in Miami, and I see this guy is not only on his phone while he's leg pressing, but he's actually playing a video game in the middle of his set. And I was thinking to myself, how is that even possible? You know, how hard can you truly be pushing your legs if you're able to play Black Ops in the middle of a training session? You know what I mean? So this was something that got me thinking. You can easily be distracted during your training sessions, whether you're on your phone, maybe you're thinking about work, maybe you're thinking about an argument that you had with your partner, maybe you're just thinking about your family, how I am sometimes because I miss them so damn much here in Miami. But look, this is underrated because keeping your focus and engaging each muscle group properly is so important. I stress this concept of mind-to-muscle connection to my clients every single day, online, in person, whatever. I cannot tell you guys how many times in the day I say squeeze, contract, engage, focus. These cues for training are vital to seeing progress. And this is another reason why, you guys, I could tell you these are the exercises you need to do. I can name them. I can tell you how many reps to do, how many sets to do. I can give you my exact training split, the exact weight that I use for my exercises, and how much volume I'm doing. But I can guarantee you that a beginner is not going to get the same results as I am because they don't know how to engage the muscle how I do. And that takes experience, and it takes, honestly, discipline to focus during your training set. This is something, like I said, I preach and I practice a lot with my clients. Every trainer has their different training style. For me, I'm more of a teacher. I guess I get that from my mom because she teaches little kids. She teaches first grade, though, and I can never do that. But my training style is teaching my clients. I want you guys to know what exercises you're doing, what muscle groups you're hitting, and why. If you don't know those three things, there is no way that you're going to be able to progress in the way that you want to. Moving on to point number three, fasted cardio. Again, let's go over what even is fasted cardio. Kinsley, what does this mean? Fasted cardio is basically when you wake up in the morning and you don't eat anything at all, you go straight into your cardio. So the idea behind this is that if you fast overnight and work out first thing in the morning, your body is in a more depleted state of glucose, which is the body's main source of energy. And instead of using the glucose, right, carbohydrates, your body is going to use stored fat for fuel, which, you know, people say can burn more calories, burn more fat with your body being in that depleted state. To me, I think this is overrated, and I want to give it about a 7, and I'll tell you guys why. From my personal point of view, you should do your cardio whenever you have the ability to be the most productive and push the hardest. There are also many ways to be in a more depleted state when you're doing cardio. For example, if you want to be in a depleted state, just do cardio after you train legs. I promise you, your body's going to be a little bit depleted after you've done an insane lower body session. So you could do cardio post-workout, I think would be a good alternative. But in short, I really think you could do it any time of day, again, where you feel that you can be the most productive. Now, this does have very mixed point of views. There's a lot of research on this topic, but this is just, you know, in my personal opinion. Fasted cardio can be beneficial for some of the population. So maybe you're shorter on time and you can't wake up early enough to prepare, eat, and digest a meal before you hop on a treadmill. Then maybe fasted cardio is for you, or maybe it's beneficial because you prefer doing cardio in the morning on an empty stomach. You just feel better. You don't have a large appetite in the morning and you just want to get it done. Maybe it makes you feel better mentally. But listen, it's not beneficial if you're not a morning person, and it's not beneficial if you already get up at the crack of dawn like me. It's more beneficial when I have more time and more energy, because I promise you guys, I already get up around 5 a.m. If I were to get up at 4 a.m., I don't think I'd be able to make it through my day, and I think I would feel like I was literally going to fall asleep on that treadmill. I can't imagine pushing harder at 4 a.m. than I would be pushing at 12 p.m. in the afternoon. I want to move right along to point number four, warming up before training. I think this is highly underrated. I'm going to give it an 8 on a scale of 1 to 10. So listen, if you're like me and you're young and you're 22 or you're younger, you probably don't see a huge importance of warming up, but I want to try to switch your perspective here. I used to never really warm up before I trained. Maybe for 2 minutes, but it would be all right. I'm just going to like kick my leg up a couple of times and I'm ready to go. I would hop directly into a big, heavy compound lift. So it might be a deadlift. It might be a barbell back squat. It might be a shoulder press. It might be a lat pull down. anything like that. I had kind of a big ego, and really this was just a couple years ago. I was like, I don't need anyone to see me warming up. I don't need to warm up. I know I'm strong. I know I got this weight, and my body's not going to get injured. I am invincible, baby. We've all felt like that times before, but listen, do not let your ego get ahead of you. I learned the importance of warming up after I had injured myself many, many times. My lifts were not near as productive as they would have been. My muscles didn't feel loose. I felt very sore after I trained. My body felt like shit. So I thought, okay, I might need to start warming up before I train. When you warm up before exercise, this will reduce risk of injury. It'll warm up your body temperature. It'll increase blood flow. It'll take your joints through a specific full range of motion. And it'll just help loosen up your muscles to prepare them to get ready for work. And if you're new to warming up or you just need a new warm-up routine, I'm going to take you through what I typically do. So, giving an example, me before I train legs. What I would start off with and what I do start out with is about 5 minutes of cardio. Easy. I may walk on the treadmill. I may do like 5 minutes of Stairmaster. You guys could do like the bike. Anything to increase your body temperature and get your heart rate up. Usually for me, I just walk. Then I like to go into 5 to 10 minutes of mobility and stretching. So you want to make sure the mobility is important because we want our bodies to be able to move correctly. So if you're not very mobile, your lifts are not going to be as good. And then as far as the stretching goes, you want to make sure you're keeping it dynamic, which just means with movement. So there's two types of stretching. There's static and there's dynamic. Dynamic means with movement. Static are going to be just the exercises or the stretches in which you hold for about 30 seconds to see the benefit with. When you're doing active stretching, it's with movement. So you could do, you know, leg swings. You could do body weight lunges. You could do like internal and external rotation. You could do band pull-aparts, over and backs, all kind of things depending on what you are trying to hit. So for this specific example, I'm training legs. So I go through a little bit of stretching on the ground. I'll stretch out my hamstrings. I'll stretch out my quads. I'll stretch out my hip flexors really well. I'll do some leg swings. I'll usually do like some ankle rolls. I'll do some hip circles, things like that. Just spend, again, about 5 minutes doing that. And then I'll usually go into 2 to 3 minutes of foam rolling. So foam rolling is very important because it is loosening up your muscles to an even greater extent, especially if you have something that kind of bothers you. So I get a lot of back pain. My back is super, super tight. And I always like to do that self myofascial release before I train any muscle group. So I usually do 2 to 3 minutes of foam rolling. 15 to 20 seconds per, you know, muscle group. So, for example, I may roll on my back for about 20 seconds. I do my quads, I do my glutes, my inner thighs, etc. Make sure you are warming up. This is just an example of my routine, but as long as you're spending a good 5 to 10 minutes before you train, taking your muscles through a certain range of motion, getting your body primed and ready to lift, you should be good to go. And last concept I want to point out to you guys is overrated or underrated the concept of high quality meats. I think this is underrated, and I'm going to give it about a 7 on that scale. What do I mean by high quality meat? What does this even mean? So when you're at the supermarket and you see like 3 different choices of beef and they all say different things and are different prices, for example, one may say on sale, it's $5.29, but the use by date was yesterday and the meat is pretty light in color. The one right next to it says $6.59. It's a little bit more expensive. The use by date is about 3 days from now and the meat looks to be pretty good texture and a lot darker in color. And then the last one, compared to that $6.59, it says that it's $8.99. So you guys, this is expensive, but it's grass-fed, it's organic, it's super dark in color. The use-by date is several dates from now, and let me tell you guys, this steak is looking fire. I don't know about you guys, but I'm going with this one, even if I do have to pay almost $4 more. And I know that can be kind of pricey, but eating healthy is an investment. Let me teach you guys what grass-fed actually means. Grass-fed refers to animals cannot be fed grain or grain byproducts and must have continuous access to pasture during the growing season. So the animals are allowed to roam around and eat a diet of grass and forage for their entire life. When you have a animal product that is not grass-fed. The cows are usually grain-fed. They're placed in pens and fed a diet of soy and corn-based grains. They are also given drugs, hormones, and antibiotics. This diet helps to accelerate their growth. This is why sometimes you look at a chicken breast and it is gigantic. It's like the size of half a small table. I mean, it has a ton of added hormones and steroids in it. That shit is scary to me. So let me break this down for you guys. Remember, in my opinion, do not eat Sour Patch Kids mid-workout. Focus on your mind-to-muscle connection when lifting. Do cardio whenever you can be the most productive and have the most energy. Do not stress if it's not fasted first thing in the morning. Make sure you warm up well before you train and invest in high-quality meats. This concludes the segment of underrated versus overrated. If there's anything I missed or you guys had questions on or would like me to do a separate episode with a little bit more fitness trends and nutrition topics here, be sure to reach out to me on Instagram. My IG is Yo It's Kenslow, YoItsKenslo. My business account is Fitness for Fortitude. You can reach out to me through either of these IG accounts, or if you're interested in one-on-one coaching, you want to make sure that you're doing the right thing, you're eating the right foods, and you are training the right way, be sure to reach out to me because I'd be happy to help you. You can visit my website, KenslowMeeks.com, or you can send me an email at KinsleyMeeksFit@gmail.com. One more time, that's KinsleyMeeksFit@gmail.com, and I will make sure to get back to you as soon as I can. I want to thank you guys so, so much for listening and just ask one more quick favor. If you can find the time, if you can find the love within your heart, you enjoyed the show or it helped you in some type of way, please rate and review the show on any major podcast platform. These rate and reviews help the show grow. They help me get my name out there. They help me make sure that you guys are following the right fitness trends and not the wrong ones. And they also just keep me encouraged to keep doing this, you guys, because it's not easy. It's a one-woman show and it takes a lot of effort. So all of the support, all of the messages, all of the encouragement I get from the bottom of my heart, thank you so, so much. Before we end today's show, as always, I want to take a Q&A from a listener, from someone who is interested in asking a question to me. So let's see what they have to say.
Hey, Kenslow, this is Martha. Hope all is well. I had a couple questions for you about managing my fitness and nutrition routine while having a chronic health condition. So I have PCOS, which is polycystic ovarian syndrome, and it's basically a disorder of hormone imbalances and stress really affect my symptoms. And there's not a lot of treatment options out there. So I really need to use diet and exercise to reduce my pain and reduce my stress. So I'm wondering what you think would be the best thing to do in the gym, especially as someone who can't really do high intensity exercise because that exacerbates my symptoms. What kind of routine do you think would be the best fit? And also nutrition wise, I obviously know, you know, some things, but not all. What do you recommend in terms of balancing my workout routine while having a lot of different food sensitivities and limitations there?
Hey, Martha, what's up? Thank you so much for reaching out. I love this question, as I love all my Q&As. This is a really important topic, and I think a lot of people, it's not super uncommon to struggle with PCOS, and it really would be cool to make a whole separate episode about this topic, because believe me, you're not alone. I know a lot of females struggle with that. I actually have someone close to me back home in Alabama who struggles with that as well, and I've learned a lot from her, so I'll give you my best insight on this. So you kind of talked about two main things that you're struggling with. Number one, is the hormones, right? Regulating the hormones, making sure they're in a healthy spot. And number two is the stress, making sure we're limiting the stress created on the body. And we're trying to do that through physical fitness and diet, which I think can drastically improve your symptoms, Martha, and make you feel better mentally and physically. So let's talk about first on the nutrition side of things. The first tip I have for you is we want to stick to a mostly whole food diet. So try to stick with foods that are minimally processed, very few ingredients. Make sure you're reading your labels and choosing whole food sources. You talked about hormones, right? How can we solve this issue? How can we better make sure the hormones are in a healthy spot and help with hormone regulation? Next step I have for you on that regard is healthy fats. Make sure you're including healthy fats into your diet. This can be amazing for helping out with your hormone production and regulation. Fatty acids such as omega-3 too, which you can get from fish, is one that I'm a very, very big advocate of. You know, fatty fish such as salmon and sardines and mackerel. This can help with, like I said, hormone regulation, help out with your hormones, immune regulation. Also, it just has anti-inflammatory properties. So focus on your omega-3s, I would say. Another tip on the nutrition side of things would be make sure that you are following like an anti-inflammatory diet. You probably will have to do some trial and error here, but see what foods make you feel good and what foods do not make you feel good. And that should give you some insight. But good anti-inflammatory foods would be, you know, again, those fatty fish, leafy greens, fruits, nuts, healthy oils, you know, your olive oils, your avocado oils, things like that. Smaller portions more frequently throughout the day is something I would definitely focus on as well on the nutrition side of things. And then also just make sure you're staying hydrated. I've done an episode on this before. Our bodies really need enough water. It can help you out in so, so many ways. So just avoid like high sugary, you know, sodas and energy drinks and like really high sugar even juices. And that should help out. Moving on to the training side of things. So I love this aspect of it as well. So number one, if stress is a problem, I can guarantee you training is going to help you reduce your stress as long as you're doing the right form of exercise. So the key here is moderate intensity. I wouldn't go crazy, but I would focus on three different aspects here. Number one would be your cardio. I'm very big advocate for cardio. It's going to help improve your heart health. It's going to also help improve your lungs. So I would do walking. I would go on just a brisk walk outside. Enjoy it, something that's going to make you feel good and clear your head. For the next side of the fitness aspect of things, I would focus on your strength training. Strength training, you know, at least two, really focus more like 3 to 4 times a week would be best. That's going to help you improve your skeletal muscle mass. And then also, one thing that my friend back home does as well, and I've done some research here too that helps her a lot, is incorporating yoga and Pilates, which I think can be a really good form of exercise along with the strength training, something that's a little bit more intense. Because that yoga and Pilates style of training, it can help lower your stress levels, which is just going to lead to better mental health. And when you're trying to manage these symptoms that are challenging every single day, you know, you want to make sure your mental health is in a good spot. So that's what I would say on that side of things. And just maybe the yoga or Pilates, maybe 2 times a week as well, stuff that you enjoy, and that should help out. Again, I could go on and on about this topic. PCOS is a really, really interesting condition, and I know that's hard. So if I can help you in any other way, feel free to just reach out to me personally, Martha. And if any of you guys are struggling with the same condition, I just encourage you to really focus on your fitness, and I really encourage you to focus on your diet, because you can dramatically, again, improve your symptoms just by eating the right way and training the right way. So hope that answers your question, Martha, and hope this helps someone else out there with the same symptoms. I want to thank you guys again so much for listening. Be sure to check out next week's episode number 15. As always, please know that I'm wishing you guys nothing but the most optimal physical health, mental health, better relationships, more happiness, more peace, and faith and blessings as always. Talk to you next week.